You're listening to All Action Sports Radio.
This is the Dingo.
Justin Barsha.
Gus Kenworthy.
Chris Moore.
Paul Rodriguez, a.k.a. P-Rod. And you're listening to All Action Sports Radio. Peace.
All right, welcome to All Action Sports Radio. If you're listening on your iPod, your iPhone, or your Samsung phone, or your computer, or your radio station, of which we want to thank WEEU 830 AM from Reading, Pennsylvania. And we want to thank WZGM 1350 AM from Asheville, North Carolina. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio. It's a Super Bowl weekend. I'm pretty stoked. Who do you have? Seattle, Denver? I know it's an action sports show, but we do love our NFL here. A lot of our Olympians have left the U.S. Sage Constantbaum, Chaz Gilderman, they tweeted out they were headed to Germany on their way to Russia. It's really pretty exciting. I think these next 3 weeks, 4 weeks are some of the biggest times in action sports with the Winter X Games, the Olympics, and the Olympics and the Super Bowl. You're going to see a lot of our athletes on television during the Super Bowl. So it's a big time for the action sports industry, even though it's the day of the Super Bowl. Coming up, we have our usual suspects. Racer X online editor Jason Weingant is in Cali for round 5 of Supercross in Anaheim, California. We will talk with him live from Angel Stadium. Ryan Simmons, our resident surf expert, will talk with us about Mavericks, Jaws, which has been nothing short of spectacular this season. And we are hoping to hook up with SBC Skier Magazine editor and ESPN correspondent Jeff Schmuck. He is live from SIA, and we're hoping to catch up with him as well. In our True Spin segment, we'll be talking to big-time motocross racer Davey Millsap, who had a terrible injury right before the 2014 season, and that has been nothing short of a huge setback for him after his tremendous run in 2013. He will bring us up to speed on his injury and his return to motocross. And if that's not enough, Team All Action Sports Radio's own Olympic snowboarder Caitlin Farrington, fresh off her bronze medal win at the X Games, is stopping by All Action Sports Radio right before she leaves for Sochi. So that's happening here today here at All Action Sports Radio. And we have our song of the week from Fife. He's from A Tribe Called Quest, that classic band, and his song Dear Dilla. That's our song of the week here at All Action Sports Radio. And now, you recall last week I sent out an email about I didn't send out an email. I got an email, a lot of emails in regards to Shaun White skipping the X Games and going straight to the Olympics. And some were good. Some were, mostly pro, some con, and some STFUs. And I guess you can figure that one out. Overall, people were like saying he should have stuck with the Olympic team and done the X Games because they're all a team. The Olympics is about a team. And that was pretty much the pro. The con was that was the con. The pro was, like we all talked about, he is the face of snowboarding and the face for the Olympics here. And he should have done what he did. So the proof will be in the pudding when we watch Shaun White, and during the Olympics and what he does. The Grammys were last week, and Beyonce and Jay-Z were talking about surfing on a surfboard. And I'm not quite sure exactly how it was going to work, but let me give you the lyrics, okay? Then I filled the tub up halfway, then ride it with my surfboard, surfboard, surfboard. Graining on that wood, graining, graining, graining on that wood. I'm swerving on that, swerving, swerving, swerving. Did you get that? That's Beyonce and Jay-Z. They opened up the Grammys. And we have a little bit of a clip of that, and we're going to roll that in one. Wash rags, he wet up, boy, I'm drinking, I'm singing. On the mic to my boy's horse, then I fill the tub up halfway, then ride it with my surfboard. Surfboard, surfboard, graining on that wood, graining, graining on that wood. I'm swerving on this, swerving all on this, big body, been surfing all on this, surfing all on this, good, good. We woke up in the kitchen saying. All right, did you get that? Beyonce and Jay-Z surf. Who knew? Beyonce and Jay-Z surf. I didn't. You didn't. And I got to tell you, I'm as surprised as anybody. Halfway on there, I ride it with my surfboard, surfboard, surfboard. And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio, and I'm on the line with Racer X online editor Jason Weingart, who also hosts the TV broadcast of Lucas Oil AMA Motocross and the GNCC Series. And he is here in our lovely state of California, ready for Anaheim.
Yeah, it's a big day today. They have press day every Thursday at the stadium, so I'm going to go over there today. I think James Stewart will be on hand, a couple other riders, so just getting the vibe here for the third and the last Anaheim. We're already done with California, close to.
Which is kind of a bummer, you know. I kind of liked it at Dodger Stadium, but, you know, I guess it wasn't as cool as Anaheim.
Something about Anaheim is the perfect spot. It's weird. I mean, those stadiums are probably, a half hour apart, but the crowd was much bigger at Angel Stadium, and then motocross people are like, well, Dodger Stadium, isn't that in a weird part of town? You're never going to get a crowd there. And I'm like, they get a crowd there 81 baseball games a year. Can't be that bad.
No, can't be. Which brings me up to my burning question I wanted for you, Jason. Ryan Villopoto looked great last week. He led pretty much the whole race, and he looked like his old self. But here's what he had to say about Anaheim and why he had trouble at Anaheim. And here's what he wrote. Well, he didn't write, but here's his quote. He goes, yet we are at Anaheim all over again, and this is what Ryan Villopoto had to say about his win last week. The biggest thing was the track. The track was good enough that we could really push the bikes and push the track to its limit. When you have a track like Anaheim, like we had, you know, that previous weekend, you pretty much tiptoe around it and try not to fall down. It's hard to race that track. Smoother and slower is faster, but here we could ride it hard and see a difference. Now he's talking about Oakland. Now he's back in Anaheim. So do you anticipate he's going to have problems?
Villopoto's capable of winning anywhere, but there is no doubt that the track like Oakland works a little better for him. He's so aggressive. He might be the most aggressive guy as far as getting on the throttle early and hard and getting on the brakes late and all that type of stuff. And when you have slippery, dry dirt like we've had here in Anaheim, that doesn't really work so well for that. And you saw the very first race of the year. He was leading. It looked like he might have won the thing and lost traction with the front end, got on the brakes too hard, tried to go too fast into the corner. So he's certainly capable of winning anywhere, but this type of dirt here, a little bit drier, slicker, probably does help the other guys odd of beating him.
So you lessen his chances this weekend?
You know, the big problem here is, as you've noticed, even for you guys, there's been an extreme drought, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Horrible.
Yeah, and of course that reflects in the dirt they have in the building. Anaheim is always pretty slick. Usually it's slick because the moisture comes out late at night around 9, 10 o'clock when the main event is taking place. Starts to get slippery, but this time it's just dry and dusty, which is something they're not used to dealing with. But they said they've been watering the track here since Monday, trying to get it in. Maybe it'll be a little bit different than the first two Anaheims, but it won't be like Oakland.
Let's talk about James Stewart, his newfound attitude. You know, in an article I read, he said, the difference in me this year and me a few years ago is I honestly don't care if I don't win a race this year as long as I win the championship. When I'm out there racing, I'm managing where I'm at. I'm managing my situation. I'm managing points and all that. Is Jason Stewart suffering from a severe case of Dungeitis?
Yeah, but you know what? I think the prescription for Dungey would be more like Stewart, and the prescription for Stewart would be more like Dungey. So you can't really complain about a guy who for probably 10 years have been saying, if you just backed it down a little bit, you could be consistent on your bad weeks and win on your good weeks, and you'd win a title. So that's exactly what he's doing. So I don't think we can complain. It's kind of like he's been going to the therapist for a long time, and the lessons are finally paying off. But this is the James Stewart I think people were hoping to see. Back it down a little, and don't crash as much.
And you think this can lead to a champion season for him?
Well, he thinks so. Obviously, it's going to help his odds. Villopoto, to me, is just so darn strong, and he's the first guy, of course, to win more than one race this year. It's not going to be easy, but when you saw James Stewart crash out and not finish the first race, you thought, same old, same old.
Here we go again.
He's going to have a few good races. Yeah, here we go again. But now it looks like he's in it for the long haul. He's in position, let's put it this way, to take advantage of other people making mistakes. Usually, they're taking advantage of him making the mistake. He's putting the pressure on others now.
Hey, do you think Chad Reed can sustain things? I mean, he is 31. I mean, he's having a banner season thus far. I mean, he's right there in the thick of things. But do you think he can hang?
I absolutely do. Chad Reed has always done what James Stewart is trying to do now, and that is get on the podium top three on your bad weeks, and then a couple times during the year you're either going to be feeling it or other guys are going to make errors, and then you get your win. That's a really good formula. I mean, the best scenario, of course, is to just be so fast that you win every race. Not everybody has that luxury. So if you're not going to be that level, that's the best way to play it. So I see no reason to think that Reed is out of this. He's going to be there every week, and if somebody else is a huge error, we might be saying, look at this, Chad Reed's in position to win the title.
And he's going to capitalize on it. The veteran savvy, that's what you got with Chad Reed. All right, how are you going to call the last round of Anaheim?
Let's mix it up here. Let's go Dungy. I think that that slick soil seems to work for him. That's the difference when you're a little bit more conservative. He crashed leading the last one, which is uncharacteristic for him, but for the most part, he's good in this terrain. So I'm going to go crazy, and I'm going to say Ryan Dungy. How about that?
I like it. From your mouth to God's ears to the world. Thank you, Jason Weingand, for being a part of All Action Sports Radio, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, Wes. Thanks, guys.
All righty. We'll be back with motocross star Davey Millsap here at All Action Sports Radio.
Everyone gets hurt in this sport. There isn't one person that hasn't been hurt. If you let it knock you down, it takes a long time to get up, but if you keep pushing forward and not let it affect you, then you're going to come out stronger.
Checkered flag, Davey Millsap and Suzuki.
Wire-to-wire win. Unbelievable.
And that was the dynamic Davey Millsaps, who finished second in the 2013 AMA Supercross Championship. He was poised to come back even stronger and faster in 2014 when he suffered a major, major setback with an injury just prior to the 2014 season. And he is on the line with us, and coincidentally enough, he is in therapy. Davey, how are you?
What's up?
Hey, Davey. This is Wes. This is Wes with All Access Sports Radio. You're in a therapy session?
I am. Listen to everyone make fun of me for being on the phone right now.
hey, you're a rock star. You can do that. Now, Davey, I watched that clip, and people can watch that clip on our website, All Action Sports Radio, or our Facebook page. You know, it's a real in-depth talk with you and your family about your career, your injury, and where you are right now. And one of the quotes that really struck me in that video was, you have a straight leg for the first time in 7 months, then bam.
Years.
7 years, I'm sorry. Yep. And then bam, you injured your other leg. And I guess what we all want to know here, all our fans here at All Access Sports Radio, is how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. You know, I'm planning on riding on the 10th of February, my first day back on the bike. So we'll see how it goes from there.
Well, I don't want this to dwell on your injuries, but it's a big part of your story this year. That video said a lot about who you are. And, I mean, I got sad, but I really loved your attitude and your strength and where it came from. It's tough to come to have such a great season and then come back so close, and then all of a sudden there's a huge setback. Are you watching the series right now? Do you take time to watch it every week?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, it's what I do, so I have to watch it to learn, you know, really what I need to do and what I need to work on, and it kind of motivates me to get stronger, to you know, to get back as fast as I can.
Are you getting any insight, you know, sitting on the couch watching the riders as you prepare for your return?
I mean, yeah, yes and no. I'm just trying to do my own thing and you know, just get back as soon as I can, and I don't know. It's just, you know, you can watch them all you want from TV, but if you're not out there racing, it's not the same.
Has anyone or anything surprised you thus far this year?
I mean, not really. It's kind of where we all pictured everyone would be, as far as who would be up in the front and who wouldn't. So I think it's kind of right on point where everyone was thinking everyone's going to be.
Since you're in rehabilitation right now, what's your prognosis? How long before we can anticipate you coming back?
Well, like I said, you know, I plan on riding for the first time on February 10th, and from there we'll kind of see how it is. You know, I would like to hopefully start racing in April, That's kind of like my goal, but if I can't, then I can't. And but I'll be back as soon as I can, for sure.
Just a little insight, because I know, you know, you've been a part of Twitter, and you know how hungry people are for information. What was your rehabilitation? What do you do for rehabilitation? What are you working on? What kind of therapy are you doing? Are you in a pool, or are they?
No. I mean, I work out. You know, I just do a lot of things to help recover faster, and get back faster. And Dr. G tries to hook it up, but we're he's still learning, and hopefully you can get together pretty soon.
Are you back on your bike or?
Bicycle for sure. Bicycle, gym, and all that stuff. But no dirt bike yet.
No dirt bike yet. And did you say April is when you're going to come back or?
Well, to come back racing is my goal then, yes, but I'll be back riding on February 10th.
On February 10th. Will you put out a video? Can we all check it out?
I don't know if I'll put out a video my first day back. Maybe my third or fourth, but definitely not my first day back.
You're listening to All Access Sports Radio. We're on the line with motocross star Davey Millsap, who's been recovering after a devastating injury prior to the 2014 Supercross season. Davey, what's been the toughest part about not being part of the 2014 season right now?
Just the fact of coming off such a good year last year and having the surgery to fix my femur and then, coming back and feeling good and then breaking my foot and my ankle and then coming back and feeling good again and tearing my ACL. That was hard for me. Knowing that going into the season, I'm not going to be able to do that and kind of duplicate what I did last year, if not better, and be up there racing with those guys. It's what I enjoy doing. So it sucks that I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading this article, and it says, Davey Millsaps has broken, fractured, torn, or strained nearly every part of his body. And most people would hang up their boots and walk away. I mean, you're only 25, Davey. You're a very young guy, and I think. From what I got of that video, it doesn't kill you; it just made you stronger.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been a rough go since May for me. But it's like I said, it's what I do, and that's kind of all I know. So I just do whatever I can to get back and get back to the top.
Watching that video, your wife is a saint. She really is. I mean. Watching you and then helping you recover through these injuries. I mean, I know it takes a lot and it's an emotional toll. And she sounds like she's a great woman.
No, definitely. And she's definitely helped me a lot through all my injuries. And it would definitely be hard to do what she did. The roles were reversed. And so definitely can't thank her enough for that.
Oh, absolutely. Davey, we're looking forward to your return, and I hope you put out a video. Maybe not the first day, maybe the second or third day.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to put out a video, one of those days. Just we'll see which day.
Now, in anticipation of your return to motocross, what are your goals?
I don't really have any, man. I just, my main goal right now is just to get back and to get strong again. I just want to get some gate drops and racing on a belt before we go into the outdoor season. So
yeah, absolutely. I can totally understand that. Have you been surprised by the resurgence of Chad Reed and how well he's been riding?
No, not really. I mean, Chad's always going to be Chad. When he wants it, he's going to get it. He was going through a lot last year with injuries and whatnot, and this year he's healthy. So I think we're seeing the old Chad back.
We are seeing the old Chad back, and I'm looking forward to watching this weekend and seeing how he's going to do because he's a tremendous guy and he's been on our show and I'm wishing him well. Now, hey Davey, we're coming up towards the end of this interview. How big a difference? I know this is like. Thinking, wishing ahead or something like that. But how big a difference do you think you would have made this season if you would have been in the mix?
I mean, I would like to say it would have made a big one, but, you know, that's something I guess we'll never know. But, I don't know, I feel like if I could have ridden, you know, just as good as I did last year, if not better, then I feel like it could definitely, it definitely would have messed it up a lot more than what it is right now.
I absolutely agree, Davey. We're looking forward to your return, and we can't wait. And when that video comes out, please shoot a link over to us here at All Access Sports Radio.
Sounds good.
All right, well, you take care of yourself. Go through your rehab, and we look forward to seeing you on the races.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Davey. That was Davey Millsap, motocross superstar here at All Access Sports Radio. Coming up, we have Olympian, Winter X bronze medalist, Caitlin Ferriton, here at All Access Sports Radio. And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio. Don't forget, you can always Twitter with All Action Sport, no S. Instagram, All Action Sports Radio. And, of course, you can email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. Have you guys seen that video, that commercial that's been out that KFC is doing, Kentucky Fried Chicken, that motocross commercial where they have the guy doing a backflip and he's popping like a nugget in his mouth? I think that's such a irresponsible commercial. I don't mean to be a prude here, but you know how many kids are going to be like launching on their bikes trying to eat a McNugget, you know, by flipping it? I don't know. I just think it's kind of crazy. All right. She became the first woman rider to perform a backside 900. Her resume is just a who's who of championship. 2012 Grand Prix overall champion, gold medalist in teams France for the X Games. And she just came off a tremendous win at Winter X with a bronze medal. She rides Goofy. Welcome to All Action Sports Radio yet again, Caitlin Ferriton.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm Wes, I'm your host, and I hear you're on the slopes right now.
Yeah, I am. I'm at Brighton, and it's a powder day, so it's really fun. One of my first powder days of the season.
Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations on making the 2014 U.S. Olympic team and representing the good old USA in Sochi.
Yeah, I'm so excited about it. It's always been a dream of mine, and I'm stoked I made it come true.
And my second question is, what the hell are you still doing here?
Well, I actually leave on Saturday, so I'm just kind of enjoying my time at home at Salt Lake City and just seeing my friends and just kind of taking a little downtime before I head over to Russia.
You know, we had your coach, Mr. Janikowski, on last week, and he left Tuesday. Chaz Gilderman called and said he left the other day, and so did Sage.
Yep, everyone's kind of on their own schedules. I think slope style might be one of the first events, so the slope guys kind of already headed out. And then halfpipe, we all head out on Saturday.
You guys are all traveling together as a group?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, that's nice. Very nice. You guys, is it like an Olympic plane, or are you going with other people?
We're actually taking a plane into Munich. And we spend a day or two in Munich, and then we take a charter plane that will just be U.S. athletes to Russia on Sunday or Monday. I'm not really sure.
Oh, man, that's got to be super cool.
I just do what they tell me.
That's got to be super cool. On a plane with nothing but Olympians all headed to the Olympics. Man, what a memory. Now, being an Olympian is huge. I mean, we all know that. It's a huge achievement, Caitlin. And like as I said before, congratulations. I told Kelly Clark when she was on a couple of weeks ago, and I truly believe this, you're an American hero. You're an inspiration to so many young kids, both male and female. And we're wishing you all the best going forward with the Olympics.
Thank you.
I mean, I know right now maybe you don't feel like a hero, but when kids watch you do what you do and you do it so well, regardless of how you podium in the Olympics, it's inspirational. It really is. So hats off.
Yeah, thanks. I know it's been crazy. It hasn't really sunken in until like this week after X Games that I'm actually an Olympian and I'm going to the Olympics, just because we were so busy in our schedule. We had so many contests going on that now that I have a little downtime, and now I'm like, oh my gosh, my next contest is going to be at the Olympics.
And you know what I like? You're fearless. You're still out riding. You're not hiding out, you know, being afraid of getting hurt or skipping the Winter X Games. I mean, you're like, I'm going for it. I'm doing what I love.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't. I mean, it's just another contest, and every day when we get on the hill, it's a risk. But I'm on the road to fun, and so I'm just out here having fun with my friends.
You know, did you hear that, listeners? It's just another contest. The entire world is watching you, and it's just, I love you, Caitlin. Your team, All Action Sports Radio, we're rooting for you big time. Now, before we get to break, is it true your dad supported your snowboarding by selling cows so you could go on trips?
Yeah, when I was younger, I grew up on a ranch in Idaho, and when I was younger and started doing like bigger contests, mm-hmm. it started getting a lot more expensive than just like the, you know, USASA contest just around the valley. And so we would sell a cow. It was like Wednesdays, I think, were the cattle sales in Shoshone. And me and my dad, before I'd go to school, would load a cow up or maybe two. It kind of depended where I was headed. And we'd sell the cows for my travel budget.
That is incredible. That is awesome. Caitlin, you never cease to amaze. Your dad must be super proud. And those cows didn't go to waste.
Yeah, the cows didn't go to waste because he has none left. So, you know, I think it all went to a good cause.
Absolutely. We're talking to Caitlin Farrington, Olympian Caitlin Farrington, here at All Action Sports Radio. We'll be back after this break, and we're going to talk more about you walking into the Olympic Stadium and how the people back at home are treating you now that you are a bona fide superstar in the world of snowboarding. Here we go on All Action Sports Radio with Caitlin Farrington. Back here at All Action Sports Radio, want to give a big shout out to WLKW 95.3 FM in Jamestown, New York. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio. We are here with Caitlin Farrington, and she is on the slopes getting ready to head out for Sochi. I got that right, right, Karen? Caitlin?
Yep.
All right, Caitlin, I have so many questions to ask you, but right now, how are you going to feel? Have you thought about it, walking into the Olympic Stadium? You know, it's on the news, and you're there with all the different countries, and you're waving your flag, and you're waving as you guys circle the stadium. Have you thought about that moment?
I just think it's going to be one of those moments for me that's just kind of like a sigh of relief and just like, I did this, you know? Like I said earlier, it's been a dream of mine to walk into an Olympic stadium, and the fact that I'm actually going to get to do it, that means I achieved one of my goals, and I'm so proud of myself.
And we are too. Hey, how are the people back at home? How are they treating you? I mean, your family's still in Idaho, right?
Yeah, my family's still in Sun Valley, and actually, everybody's been really great. I've talked to so many people up in Sun Valley, and actually, the town of Sun Valley is pretty much sending my parents to the Olympics with me.
Oh, cool.
Which is so cool. They've done a lot of fundraisers and have just been, like, giving my mom a check at work and stuff. And just everybody's really come together to make sure that my parents get to go to Russia with me.
Wow, that is absolutely great. Hey, you know, you're in Sun Valley, Idaho. There's a ski resort there, a snowboard hangout. You know, when Johnny Mosley won his gold medal, I hooked up with him in Vegas, and later we went to Squaw, and they named a run after him, and I got to, you know, go down the slopes with Johnny Mosley on his own personal run that they named after him. Do you think they'll name one after you up in Sun Valley?
Maybe they will. I don't know. I've never thought about it. I mean, it would be really cool if they did. I'd probably pick my favorite run out of there and ask them to name, change the name to that.
To Farrington's Row.
Yeah, Farrington's Row.
Or name the park after you. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, going back, you know, in the cow selling days, when you first started, did you ever imagine Olympics in your future? Was there a coach or a person or anyone who said, hey, man, you're really good. You know, I think you can go to the Olympics.
You know, I think it was like something that was in my mind, but at first it was all for me was X Games. I wanted to be invited to X Games. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do well at X Games because that was kind of where my head was at. And then probably when I was probably 20 was when I was like, I could go to the next Olympics or, you know, I could try and make it to an Olympics. And I think that's when I kind of put my heart out into making the Olympic team.
You know, Caitlin, that's a perfect question. Hey, when did you know you were that good? I mean, honestly, don't hold back. When did you know when you did a contest and not necessarily maybe you didn't win, but all of a sudden you were competing with the big girls and you said to yourself, you know what? I can do this. When was that moment?
I think it was when I was around 18, and that was kind of when I first joined with U.S. Snowboarding. And I think when they asked, I got a fourth in Tamarack Grand Prix. And I don't know what year that was. I'm pretty sure I was 17 or 18. And I think that's when I really was like, I can do this. I can make snowboarding my career and make a living off of it. And yeah.
Is there an annoying person as you were coming up who was always in your way, and now that you're going to Olympics, you can turn back and go, hey.
No, I don't think so, really. I think I will never forget when I first started snowboarding at Baldy, and my mom was teaching me on Lower River Run, and I had kids laughing at me from the chairlift because I was just on my butt, on my face, just catching edges. And it was just something that I will never forget because people literally laughed at me. And I wish I could find those kids and just be like, look at me now.
Absolutely. And we're going to be looking at you at the Olympics. Caitlin, Godspeed and good luck. And we'll see you on TV, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, that was Caitlin Farrington. We have more and more and more with Ryan Simmons here at All Action Sports Radio. And you are here on All Action Sports Radio, and we're coming into our surf segment with our resident expert, Ryan Simmons. Hey, Ryan, we have been having some epic weather of late, and that has made Mavericks and Jaws pretty much spectacular this season.
Yeah, unbelievable, actually, that big high pressure ridge, you know, keeping the weather beautiful, no wind for 3 weeks on end, and a lot of swell.
You know, with this kind of weather and these kinds of swells, you know, people don't really understand just how big and gnarly these waves are. Can you put it in perspective?
Well, I mean, let's consider that Shane Dorian was calling Mavericks for the contest 25-foot Hawaiian. So in perspective, that's, you know, I would assume 50 to maybe 60-foot faces on the set. So huge, giant, and, you know, definitely very dangerous.
You know, Mavericks is in San Mateo County, and it's an invitational, and they said they had some like 40-foot plus waves, you know, that were just crushing. I'm sort of like amazed by guys like Greg Long, you know, who stepped back into that after he had such a tremendous, you know, I would call it injury, but just
life and death experience.
Exactly. And being a surfer, and how many close calls have you had?
Well, it's on another level. I mean, just being on the tour, you surf 10 to 12 foot sunset, which might get up to 20 foot face, say on the biggest end. So you get gnarly hold downs that are maybe 10 or 15 seconds, but these guys have vests. They're surfing 50 foot waves, and they actually are getting 2- and 3-wave hold downs. So it's a whole nother level. I mean, the way these guys train, doing the underwater training with the rocks, boulders, running on the, you know, the bottom of the ocean and what have you. It's just a whole nother level, and these guys are absolutely psycho in a positive way, the way they can take the two-wave hold downs time and time again and then continue to surf these huge waves. I guess it's just that the drive of getting the bigger, the next best, you know, it's just continual.
You know, and Grant Twiggy Baker, I mean, he's 40 years old. He's a South African, and he won the comp, you know, Mavericks. And he took home $12,000 in prize money, you know, less taxes, probably six.
Yeah.
You know, I guess they don't do it for the money. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I mean, they would still be surfing these huge waves. Twiggy would still be riding Mavericks and Jaws and wherever in South Africa, the big waves over there, his hometown, and, you know, stuff like that, if there was no money. So it's just extra icing on the cake for these guys to win money doing it. But, you know, little known fact, Twiggy Baker is probably one of the most, you know, renowned big wave riders of our time. He just always seems to be in the right spot. He has that X factor of getting huge waves and riding them and pulling it off, kind of like Greg Long.
You know, speaking of Greg Long, he's coming on our show in a couple of weeks. He went back to Cortez Banks to face his fears and the place that nearly cost him his life.
Yeah.
How does he do it?
To be honest, I don't really know. I mean, I would be probably quitting surfing if that happened to me, but I guess he's destined to be who he is, and he knows that, and having maybe gone through that experience is, you know, something that he went through in his life, and now it's, you know, it's put him in a better spot and to go face the fears and now move forward. And it seems like he's kind of charging as hard as ever, right? Like,
yeah.
Huge waves at Jaws, huge waves at Mavericks, like not slowing down. So I guess, you know, but he is asking for that to possibly happen again too, is the other side of the coin, right? I mean, that's the scary side.
Yep. You're absolutely right. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about next week, you know, the ASP and things that have been juggling. Some guys have fallen off. Some guys have climbed and figured that whole situation out. We know Slater's coming back. I think we're going to be in for a banner season this year.
Well, we're going to be in for a great year. And you know what we didn't get to a couple weeks ago was they are changing it back to the original format of the WQS being its own thing and the WCT being its own thing to where – so it's going to be tougher for the WCT surfers to hold their spot. They're going to have to go and get results on the QS if they're not doing well on the WCT. Just where this year it was a little easier for the CT guys, next year, what that's trying to do is trying to open up more new faces. Rather than 3 to 5 new guys in the 10, now you might see 6 to 8, hopefully.
Oh, that's much better.
Hey, yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll pick that up next week here at All Action Sports Radio. Ryan Simmons, thank you so much for being a part of our show. We'll catch up with you next week, and we'll talk ASP.
Can't wait. Snapper Rocks around the corner. See you guys.
Nice. Next, our Song of the Week here at All Action Sports Radio.
I'm banging out some bangers as usual. Nothing ever fazed you, fam. And for that, let's I miss go. You.
And this is our Song of the Week, Fife's Dear Dilla.
Hold tight, this ain't the last I'ma see you. Due time, that's my word, I'ma see you. Frontin' ass rappers down here still an issue. Posing like they hard when we know they don't see cool. I'ma tell you, Dilla, why they lacking skills, pal. No stage presence, cadence, style. They living off of hooks, skinny jean crooks, pre-K lyrics. I reminisce when Mob dropped shook. Shan was down by law, such a good look. Nas got son and his return was stillmatic. Roots distortion in the static, you in slum fantastic. Thought I'd shout you out, son, see how you doing. Come back to earth, homie.
And that was our Song of the Week, Fife. He's from Tribe Called Quest, and that was his personal song to one of his producers, Dear Dilla. And that is our show this week. And if you like us here, email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. And for extended interviews, check out our podcast at allactionsportsradio.com and audioboo.com. And I want to thank our guest this week, RaceRex online editor Jason Weingand, motocross star Davey Millsaps, and U.S. Olympian snowboarder Caitlin Farrington. Good luck in Sochi, Caitlin. And I want to thank Ryan Simmons, our resident surf expert, and of course our crew, Soy Sauce Media, Pam, Scooter. You're doing great, man. And of course, the inspiration, and we can't do it without you, the listener. Thank you for being a part of our show each and every week here at All Action Sports Radio. We will see you in Sochi. You guys go have a killer week now.
Hard to find. I find my big booty woman. I'm gonna do my duty on that.